30 years ago today, the state of New York made history when Governor Nelson Rockefeller signed the country's most liberal law on abortion. It guaranteed women abortion on demand through the 24th week of pregnancy. New York's vote to legalize abortion preceded by 3 years, the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion nationwide. Passage of the New York law was high drama, turning on one legislator's last-minute change of mind. NPR's Melissa Block reports.
For 3 years running, the fight over abortion had bedeviled the New York State Legislature. Nelson Rockefeller, the state's liberal Republican governor, was a champion of abortion reform. But for 3 years in a row, the Republican-controlled assembly defeated abortion reform bills. In 1970, that all changed in the most dramatic of ways. First, the bill to legalize abortion came before the state Senate. Among those voting yes was Senator Albert Lewis, Democrat of Brooklyn. He says his mind was made up a year earlier when he was called into Coney Island Hospital. The 16-year-old daughter of one of his constituents lay gravely ill from an infection she suffered after an illegal abortion. Detectives were badgering the girl to give up the name of the abortionist.
When I told the detectives I'm representing her and you have to leave, and they left. And she died, and I can remember the smell in that room, and I'll never forget it. So when I think about it now, I get choked up. It was not a happy thing to see someone die so young. And she was in pain. I believe she was delirious. Her mother was beside herself. That was as good a reason for voting for it as anything I ever came across.
The vote to legalize abortion wasn't expected to pass in the Senate. It squeaked through by a one-vote margin. Albert Lewis witnessed the impact the vote had on Senate Majority Leader Earl Bridges, a Republican Catholic.
And at that time, Earl Bridges, sitting in the chair on the aisle of the majority party, just literally broke down and cried.
Back in his district in Brooklyn, Albert Lewis would be denounced from the pulpit as a cancer who had to be excised. From the Senate, the bill to legalize abortion went to the Assembly, also controlled by Republicans. The Assembly first narrowly rejected the bill, but then on April 9th, the sponsors brought it up again. One of the sponsors, Manhattan Democrat Franz Leichter, knew the vote would be very close, a real nail-biter, and as the roll was called, he realized they had fallen just one vote short of a majority to pass.
The clerk was just about to bring down the gavel and announce the results, which would have been that the bill had lost, when George Michaels got up again and made what certainly in my political life has been the most dramatic moment, when he changed his vote.
Mr. Speaker.
George Michaels, a Democrat from Auburn outside of Syracuse, had first voted no, but when he realized the bill was going down to defeat by one vote, he rose again and in a trembling voice began to speak.
What's the use of getting elected or reelected if you don't stand for something?
George Michaels, a Jewish assemblyman from a heavily Catholic district, was about to change history. He told the assembly about a conversation he'd had that week with his son, Jim.
And he said, "Dad, for God's sake, don't let your vote be the vote that defeats this bill. I cannot go back to my family on the first Passover Seder and tell them that George Michaels defeated this bill. So, Mr. Speaker, I fully appreciate that this is the termination of my political career, but I cannot, in good conscience, stand here and thwart the obvious majority of this House, the members of whom I dearly love and for whom I have a great deal of affection. I'll probably never come back here again to share these things with you. But, Mr. Speaker, I must have some peace in my family. I therefore request you, Mr. Speaker, to change my negative vote to an affirmative vote."
Total pandemonium.
Barbara Schack was watching, stunned, from the gallery. She's now president of the board of the New York chapter of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League.
We were jumping up and down and screaming and hugging each other, and it was like VE Day. We knew that something had fundamentally changed. You knew that everything after would be different.
That same realization sank in heavily with those who opposed legalizing abortion. Neil Kelleher, then a Republican assemblyman from Troy and a staunch abortion foe, calls April 9, 1970 a black day in the history of the New York legislature.
We came close to saving the lives of millions of innocent unborn children. I can't think of any day when the legislature might have failed to live up to its responsibility any more than it did on that day.
Kelleher's opposition to abortion hinged on his own family's experience. His mother died of complications from pregnancy just 1 month after giving birth to Kelleher's younger brother. His mother had tuberculosis, and an abortion, though illegal, had been suggested to her.
And she decided no. And I had that in mind when I was on the assembly floor, and I have to think that she was... And I thought about her all that day, and I had to believe that if she was there, she would want me to do what I did.
2 days after the assembly vote, 30 years ago today, Governor Rockefeller signed the bill into law. Abortion was now legal in New York State. Abortion rights advocate Barbara Schack.
The advocates packed up and went home. We'd won. We were ecstatic. And that was our mistake. The other side moved in.
Before the vote, the anti-abortion movement hadn't coalesced, but now it did. Among many who were spurred to join the Right to Life movement was Mary Wright of Endicott, New York, a homemaker and mother of five.
It changed my life completely. Every free moment, I would write letters, I would show slides. We would go from home to home and build grassroots support.
Wright says before the legislature's vote, she didn't even know who her assemblyman was. But now she was galvanized to work on a campaign to oust him because of his vote to legalize abortion. He was defeated by an abortion opponent. Wright went on to become chair of New York State Right to Life. Meanwhile, with no residency requirement to obtain an abortion in New York, as opponents predicted, the state became a magnet for women from all over the country seeking to end their pregnancies. Jane Johnson, then with Planned Parenthood of New York City, remembers hauling in a bank of 30 telephones to handle the referrals.
It absolutely blew me away. The telephones never stopped ringing, and it continued to be nonstop until Roe versus Wade.
As for Assemblyman George Michaels, who switched his vote and provided the margin of victory, his prediction came true. His county Democratic committee, outraged that he'd bucked their wishes, refused to back him in the next election. Michaels lost the primary and never returned to the assembly. His son, Rabbi James Michaels.
Never in his life, he lived until 1992, he never expressed any regret. And that's because for all of the negative things that happened, all of the hate mail and all of the anti-Semitic stuff that was thrown his way, like I hope you choke on your chicken fat and matzah, that lasted for a few weeks. But for the rest of his life, there were women who would call or write and who would thank him.
In 1972, the New York legislature voted to repeal the law, but Governor Rockefeller vetoed the repeal. New York's abortion law remains essentially unchanged 30 years after it was signed. Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.